It is the Chicago Verse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists and industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Haima Black, on the tour bus right now with Kay Flay. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm very happy to be in Chicago right now.
Yeah, welcome back home, right? Like, do you feel like this is your home? Because I know that you grew up in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it's sort of interesting because I feel like I have two hometowns in a certain way, because this is like my life hometown, right? And then the Bay Area is sort of my musical hometown in the way of the people I met early on who kind of, you know, helped shape my musical career, and the first shows I played, all that stuff was kind of in San Francisco, East Bay, that area. But yeah, I mean, I have such a deep affection for Chicago. I was actually just chatting this morning with a few people about the kind of like innate humility of the Midwest and how that is a really important thing. And I think I didn't even know that that existed until I moved, right, until I lived on both coasts and kind of got to see, no disrespect to the coastal regions of the world, but right. Yeah, it's different.
Well, and it is. It's a totally different vibe. Like, I guess, how has that impacted you as an artist? Like, coming from the Midwest, being in, like, you know, the coasts and San Francisco, like, moving around to different regions?
I mean, it's kind of funny because I've, in my whole life, never been in one place. Even, you know, I grew up here, but we never were in one house or one place really longer than about 4 years. So I'm pretty used to, and my parents split up when I was young, and my dad kind of bounced around, and so I think there was a certain degree of transience that for me felt good.
Right.
Kind of felt like the status quo. And so I think I've found that different geographic places really do affect my mood and my creative output, like, in a really positive way. I think having these different sources of stimulation, like, even for this last EP, I did a lot of it out in Nashville, which is a town I've been to a couple of times, you know, for shows and touring, but certainly never spent any concerted lifetime there. And, you know, but I found that environment to sort of immediately be very, very stimulating and really fruitful creatively.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talking about just like different regions, you've been out on the road for a few weeks now. How has this tour been going?
This tour has been great. You know, you put out anything into the world, you put out a podcast, and you don't know, you know, even every episode, like, is different, and how things will be received, and, you know, so much is contextual in so many ways, in great ways, because right. I think that makes life interesting and unpredictable. But so I put this EP out, and it's been really great. I feel like there's a bigger audience that's kind of getting familiar with my music and what I do, which is great. So this is like, yeah, like, we had one show that wasn't quite sold out, but everything else been sold out in advance, and crowds have been crazy, and which is cool, because I've definitely played for, like, five people in a weird bar many times.
Yeah, but I think that really, like, for the artists that don't go through that, who just, like, show up and everything's handed to them, it's, like, it's that old story of, like, they don't really have that kind of tenacity, and they don't know how important it is to keep going, and it doesn't feel as hard-earned, I would imagine, when you are playing, like, a sold-out hometown show or something like that.
Totally. I was actually having this chat with somebody a couple weeks ago that when sometimes people ask me, you know, what was your favorite memory from this tour? Or what's, you know, what are some of your favorite touring experiences? And for me, they are always, like, the time we were, like, in a shithole and someone threw a brick in our van. And, like, you know, it's never, like, we went to the show and there were showers everywhere and then there was a nice hotel and we all went to bed. Like, it's never that. Like, the best memories, and I think the reason that most things in life retain meaning is that there's a tension, there's a hardship, and there's a struggle. And I feel like, I kind of feel bad sometimes for, you know, musicians or any kind of artists who, like, skip that phase, the struggle. Yeah. Because the struggle is the beautiful part, you know? That's, like, before the bands break up. That's, like, you know, the moment when everybody's still, I think, engaged in that, the day-to-day battle of just existing. And there's something really beautiful about it.
Yeah. Now, the new EP, it's called Crush Me, and that came out recently. And that's your first one for Interscope, right?
Yes. So I signed with them in, I guess, the spring. with the EP, like, done. So there was sort of, and most of my record done as well. So, which was very different to my first signing, where I kind of, you know, I had just begun really doing music and had no idea what I was about or what I wanted to be about.
Right. It's that classic story of, like, yeah, being the new artist and just taking the first deal out, imagine, and then, like, how did this differ with Interscope? Like, what kind of lessons did you have, you know, behind you now that this was, you know, kind of your second label and you're like, okay, now I know what to do or what not to do, right?
Totally. I can't really tell you how different it was. For me, what I've likened it to, and I think this, like, resonates with people, is when I signed with RCA, it was like marrying my high school boyfriend at age 19 and being like, we're in love, and sort of having no sense of who I wanted to be independently in the world, you know? And this relationship with Interscope is kind of feels like that second marriage when you're like, these are the things I want in a partner, and this is who I am, and I have that level of self-awareness to be realistic about, you know, who I'm looking for and what I need from this partnership. So for me, it was, you know, I think I learned a lot of the lessons, maybe the potential impediments of being in a large record label institutional structure, because there's definitely a bureaucracy. I mean, anyone who, even like, right, anyone at a label will tell you that. That's just part of, like, being working in a company. So I think I had, you know, I had some familiarity and awareness of all that, which was great. And then on the flip side, I had put out my last record independently, and so I actually had gained a real appreciation for what labels do and how much of what labels do is very difficult and thankless. So when we started kind of chatting and that relationship was in its very nascent stage, I was like, this is what I need. This is what I don't need. This is what I appreciate. This is what I don't appreciate. And, like, by the way, here's all the music. It's done, essentially.
Right.
And so it was just, it felt like all the cards out, which was really good. And they were like, yeah, we dig it. And I'm signed through Dan Reynolds, who is right, the singer of Imagine Dragons, his imprint through Interscope. So Dan's been kind of an additional buffer for me of, like, so I, you know, I have total autonomy. So.
Well, and it's got to be awesome, I would imagine, to be an artist and then have an artist at the helm of that imprint, because then you're not explaining to, like, what people assume is at the head of a record label, which is an old white guy with white hair. But, like, you've got, like, somebody who's in the artist side currently, you know, and in a real band, who I would imagine that kind of, like, you know, recognition of your art goes a long way, so.
Definitely, and I think, you know, Dan and the whole Imagine Dragons team, they have a great relationship with the label, and they're all great guys, you know, and Dan's just, aside from everything else, a really solid person. And, you know, his goal, you know, he had just kind of had an idea of, you know, putting an imprint together, but just didn't meet anybody who was the right fit as an artist, and then happened to, you know, we happened to connect, and it all just kind of made sense. But for him, it's like, you know, I think his motive is to give somebody he believes in a platform. And for me, it's, you know, to find people that can help incubate the vision and provide that platform too, and hopefully just expand the vision of the project. Because, you know, you come from an indie background and you don't even think certain things are possible, or just because, not in a way that you're not hopeful, but in a way that your reality is constricted in a certain sense just due to the, right, you know,
the DIY. What you have and what you don't have, yeah. Now, something that's obviously very apparent in your music is that the lyrics and the vocals are so upfront. Those are such, like, they're so front and center, and I think that's something that pop music, and I know that you're not solely pop, but, like, pop music you hear on the radio, I think, has really gotten away from that in recent years. But your messaging and your storytelling is, like, very upfront. Why is that such an important component of your art?
To me, it's kind of everything. It's what as a listener I'm always looking for. You know, there's certain bands, of course, like, I just want to, like, the instrumentation is so crazy and the time signatures, and it's, like, experimental. Right. And, you
people
know,
listen to Daft Punk to dance, now for the lyrics.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, there's certain kinds of music that I listen to for different reasons. But the artists, the songwriters that I turned to over the course of, let's say, the last 15 years, it's always very lyric driven, and it's very much confessional, transparent kind of lyricism. And that's, you know, I think it took me a little while to realize that that was the common thread, because I, you know, I've loved so much hip hop and rap, and then these, like, you know, sad, like, indie girls. And I, you know, thinking about it, it's like, well, at the end of the day, the commonality between, like, let's say, you know, Patti Smith and A Tribe Called Quest is that it's kind of just confessional music.
Right.
And it's a first person narrator that feels there. Like, you feel like you understand and know. And so that's kind of, I think, as I realized that, it was also at the, you know, point where I started to see, when I was putting out songs that were really honest and felt true to my experience, those tended to be the songs people responded to.
Yeah.
And they were also the songs I liked writing and liked playing live. And so it was this, almost felt like a co-evolution of that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, listening to the EP and a song like You Felt Right, it's like, I immediately felt like I knew you. And it's like, I exactly what you're talking about, like, the songwriters that I've grown up loving, like an Elliott Smith or something, you would listen to their lyrics, you'd listen to his voice, and you were like, oh man, I get what's happening here. I know this person on some level, right?
Totally. And I think I have I don't enjoy acting. You know, I think there are certain musicians out there who love to, like, you know, dress up and, like, adopt these personas, which I think is amazing. I just truly do not have the capacity for it. I don't have the bandwidth to do that. So it's almost like it's easier for me to just be me, unabashedly me, for a number of reasons. And I think it's cool too, because right now I know there's a lot of female voices in pop music in particular, but there aren't as many in kind of the alternative world, however you want to define that. And I think there's so many great artists out there that's just not, like, getting that shine. And I'm hoping that, you know, I can hopefully be a voice in that world, because I think it's missing a little bit. And I don't think my voice is particularly, like, female-coded in a lot of ways. I mean, I know I sound like a girl, but
right.
In terms of, like, subject matter, I feel like it's hopefully kind of extends to everybody. But, you know, I do aspire to help, you know, be a voice in that world that feels like those voices don't get heard as much.
Well, I mean, just going off of what you're talking about, like, of being in, like, the pop and alternative world, and your music really does kind of live in a lot of these different spaces. You know, on that note, like, you collaborated with Lewis the Child, Hometown Guys, Lewis the Child, earlier this year, or maybe late last year. Like, how did that come together? And, like, you know, that's another space where you were, which is, like, kind of like the, you know, EDM or dance or electronic world.
Yeah, so we actually all went to the same high school, which is funny. We didn't realize that for a little while, but I was playing a show at the House of Blues in Chicago last winter, like maybe February or something like that, and they hit me up on Twitter. I'd never heard of them. I mean, they were just...
Right. Last year they were babies.
They were just coming out with stuff. Yeah. So they kind of had a few remixes up. Nothing, I don't think they had any original material at that time. And they're just like, hey, you're in Chicago. Like, we should connect in some way. And we didn't meet that night because I think, I don't know, it was just a hectic night. But I was like, you know, I'm sort of obsessed with the way that Twitter allows people to collaborate. I was actually listening to a This American Life episode. Oh, no, sorry. It was a Fresh Air interview about, like, Twitter trolling and hate speech on Twitter. So I know there are many... Twitter is problematic.
Right.
And I think it's problematic particularly if you're a journalist right now.
Or God forbid a woman with an opinion.
Yeah. Very true. But... If you're using it kind of strictly for creative purposes and connecting with other creative people, I do feel like it's revolutionary.
Yeah.
Because it used to be like you'd have to meet someone at a festival or at, you know, how would you connect? There just wasn't that platform. So anyhow, they hit me up and I checked out their stuff. I thought it was really cool, really fresh, like, and I listened to a lot of electronic music just personally. And I said, send me over if you have any thoughts, ideas, you know, they sent over kind of that little ding, 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 the beginning of that song. And I was in L.A. I'd just gone back. I just was in the process of moving there. And I just had the idea for the song I recorded in my kitchen. That's the vocal. I sent it to them, and then the drop wasn't there yet, and the song was very, very in the beginning stages, but they called me right away, like, super stoked, and I was like, I think this could be a really special song, too.
Well, I was going to say, like, did you know it was going to be as big as it was? Because I feel like, obviously, Lewis the Child had stuff going on before then, you had stuff going on then, but I feel like that became a really big national look for you. I mean, to the point where Taylor Swift put it on one of her lists, which is, I would imagine, surreal.
Yeah, it was... I don't think I had any idea that... I thought if people heard it, they would like it. You know, I didn't think it would engender massive hatred. But I certainly didn't anticipate it having such a big reach. And I think, you know, I think it boils down... I feel like that song is a great... It's a true collaboration because lyrically, melodically, that is my perspective. You know, and it's, again, getting back to that, to songwriting. You know, to me, that's a song that does tell a story, and it's a story that has been true for me. So it did feel quite representative of my style, my perspective. And then instrumentally and production wise, I think it's different. And I think it really reflects their style, you know, as producers and artists too. So it just felt really good. It felt like one of those things that happens and everyone's excited about it just because it was a great partnership.
Yeah, and very organic.
Yeah. Completely organic, yeah.
So, looking ahead at next year, because we're almost at 2017, which is crazy, you mentioned the full length that's coming out on Interscope. What can you tell us about that?
So the full length, and I don't even know what the hell I'm supposed to be saying about it. It's done, you know, I have a lot of songs that are written and could be on this record that I feel really proud of and excited about. And, you know, I think getting back to our discussion earlier of just sort of an honest perspective, I feel like there are some definite different genres represented on it, but in a way that's, you know, that's the way I like to do it. And but I feel like there's that common thread of the narrative voice running through and tying it all together. So I'm really excited about the songs. I did a lot of them in Nashville, out in the countryside at the studio I've been working at. The rest I pretty much did in L.A. And, yeah, it'll be out sooner rather than later. And I'll be announcing all that stuff early next year. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. And I feel like the EP's sort of... It's like the, you know, a little sneak peek, like, into the spirit of it.
It's the teaser trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kay Flay, the new record is out now. It's called Crush Me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then full length coming next year, both on Interscope. Thank you so much for taking the time tonight. This was awesome. Like, this was a total blast to talk to you. I'm so glad we got to connect. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And excuse me, like I say, it's interesting having some, not living in the Midwest. And most of my family actually left Chicago. So I don't come back here for Christmas and things like that. So whenever I'm back for a show, it's almost like the holidays. I have that same sort of feeling, and it's a really nice feeling. And so, yeah, I just want to say, you know, this is a great place to be. So if you're here, good job.
That's awesome. Kay Fly, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcast. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.